In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. If you went to a Lutheran confirmation class, you would have studied the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is one of the six chief parts in the Catechism. And as you studied the Apostles' Creed, you would have been familiar with the phrase, "This is most certainly true." For all three articles of the Apostles' Creed end with that phrase, "This is most certainly true." And they don't end with that phrase because they're trying to throw a bone to students who have already memorized a long section. But all three articles end with that phrase, "This is most certainly true." Because Lutheranism is a religion of certainty. In fact, I would argue that Lutheranism, or more exactly, the true Christian faith, is the only place in all the world where someone can say, "This is most certainly true," and actually mean it. Why? Well, look at the story of Zacchaeus in our text. It's a story that you're probably at least somewhat familiar with because of the children's song associated with it. And when we find Zacchaeus at the beginning of our text, what do we see? We see a man who is uncertain. And he isn't just uncertain if he is going to see Jesus or not, because he was quite short and apparently a lot of tall people were standing in the way. But he was uncertain about something far worse than that. More than wondering whether or not he would get to see Jesus, Zacchaeus was wondering whether Jesus would want to see him. Zacchaeus was wondering whether or not Jesus really was for him. For notice who Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and St. Luke says he was very rich. And we don't need to rack our brains too hard to figure out how he got so rich, right? You know what tax collectors often did in those days, skimming off the top in order to line their own pockets. This is why Zacchaeus probably would have been hated by his fellow countrymen. Not only was he working for the hated Roman government collecting taxes, but on top of that, he was probably collecting more than he needed, also that he could make a profit, and there was nothing that the Jewish people could do to stop him from doing that. And so it makes sense that Zacchaeus was uncertain at the beginning of our text, uncertain if Jesus would want to see him, uncertain if Jesus really was for him, for not only was Jesus a Jewish man, and Jewish men didn't have a high opinion of tax collectors, but on top of that, Zacchaeus had a conscience. He had that little voice inside of his head. And that voice, it was telling Zacchaeus that he had just been too sinful. He had just been too wicked. And so Jesus really wouldn't want to be with him anyways. That's ultimately why Zacchaeus was so uncertain at the beginning of our text. He was filled with guilt, and guilt always leads to uncertainty. Guilt does not allow us to say, "This is most certainly true." And if you need more proof of how guilt always leads to uncertainty, you need to look no further than the German reformer, Dr. Martin Luther. For at the beginning of his life, Martin Luther was uncertain because he also was full of guilt. He was uncertain of whether or not Jesus was for him. For even though, according to the standards of the world, Luther was not as bad of a sinner as Zacchaeus as he was in stealing from his fellow countrymen, Luther still knew that he had sinned. He still knew that he had sinned in thought and in word and in deed. And he knew what these sins should do to him. He knew that these sins should separate him from his God forever, for a holy and righteous God cannot stand being in the presence of a sinner. And no matter how much penance Martin Luther performed, No matter how many good works he did in an effort to try to please God, he still had a conscience that was full of guilt, wondering how in all the world could these works appease a holy and righteous God. He was full of guilt. He was full of uncertainty. And if we aren't careful, we can fall into the same trap today. For you all know that you have sinned. You all know that you have sinned in thought and in word and in deed. And while at times we might try to cover up our sins in the hope that nobody finds out about them, or while at times we try to suppress our conscience, that little voice, so that it doesn't do the work of condemning us, deep down inside of our hearts, we know who we are, and we know what we deserve. Because of our sins, we deserve to be separated from our God forever, for a holy and righteous God still can't stand being in the presence of a sinner. And so if we aren't careful, just like Zacchaeus and just like Martin Luther, our conscience can become so plagued with guilt over sins that we have committed that we too can end up being uncertain. For let's be clear, any time we are curved inward, any time the focus is on ourselves, there is going to be guilt as we see that we have sinned. And wherever there is guilt, there will always be uncertainty. And so there's really one way to get rid of this guilt, one way to become certain, one way to boldly and confidently declare, this is most certainly true, and you all know what that one way is. It's through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's through our Savior Jesus. For let's go back to Zacchaeus. Do you remember how full of guilt and how uncertain Zacchaeus was? For even as he was sitting in that sycamore tree, waiting for Jesus to pass by, even then he was still filled with uncertainty, wondering if Jesus would see him, wondering if Jesus would even want to see him, wondering if Jesus really was for him. Then everything changed. In a moment, all of Zacchaeus's guilt and uncertainty were taken away. How? Well, Jesus came, stopped, looked up, and he spoke to Zacchaeus. For we read, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus came down quickly and welcomed Jesus. Talk about a change. When Jesus stopped and spoke to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was no longer uncertain, wondering whether or not Jesus really was for him. But when Jesus stopped and spoke to Zacchaeus, all of his uncertainties immediately went away. For when Jesus invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house, in essence, he was telling Zacchaeus that I am for you. I am the one who is going to take care of all of your sins. I'm the one who's going to forgive them, separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. And Zacchaeus took great comfort in this truth, proven by the fact that he immediately comes down and welcomes Jesus into his home. And even when some detractors tried to take away Zacchaeus' certainty by grumbling against Jesus, saying, I can't believe he would go into the house of a sinner. Even then, Zacchaeus was still sure and certain that Jesus had forgiven him. It's why he publicly repents of his sin and publicly amends his life by giving possessions to the needy and paying back all that he had stole from. Not because he had to, for salvation is by faith alone, but simply because he couldn't help but do those things. For Zacchaeus was a changed man once Jesus spoke to him. No longer was he an uncertain sinner who was only concerned about collecting possessions in this world. He saw that only led to guilt and uncertainty. Instead, once Jesus stopped and spoke to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus was a forgiven saint, someone who was sure and certain that he was an heir of eternal life. Someone who was sure and certain that the most important thing in this world isn't collecting possessions, but the most important thing in this world is being in the presence of your God who comes down to forgive all of your sins. Yes, Jesus made Zacchaeus certain. And the same thing happened with Martin Luther some 500 years ago. When Martin Luther stopped focusing on himself and on his good works and on the penance he was performing, and instead rejoiced that God was coming down to him through word and sacrament, immediately his guilt was taken away and he became certain. He became certain that he was righteous, forgiven, and an heir of eternal life, not because of something great he had done, but simply because of the grace and mercy of his Savior Jesus, who had died and risen for him. Yes, Jesus made Luther certain. And my dear Christian friends, Jesus makes you certain as well. For there are so many uncertainties in this world right now. There's so many uncertainties in your own life right now. And I'm not only just talking about what's going to happen in the next days, weeks, months, or years. But there's also that guilty conscience that you have. That little voice that is constantly pointing out your sins, constantly pointing out how far short you have fallen of the glory of God. And if that conscience isn't soothed by Jesus giving it the forgiveness of sins, well, then it'll plague you so full of guilt that it will lead to uncertainty. For Satan is always trying to make you uncertain of God's promises, and he loves to use a guilty conscience to do it. And that's why there is nothing better than being right here, right now. For right here, right now, is where your God is stopping and speaking to you, just like he did with Zacchaeus. And when your God comes to you through word and sacrament and speaks to you, he always proclaims that you are forgiven and washed in his blood. It happens week after week. You receive the certainty that all your sins, no matter how many they are, no matter what they are, you receive the certainty that all of those sins are forgiven, washed away from you forever. And when you receive that forgiveness from Jesus week after week in the word and sacrament, all your guilt is taken away. And when your guilt is taken away, you are made certain. Certain that Jesus is for you. Certain that Jesus is your Savior. For just like with Zacchaeus and just like with Martin Luther, Jesus makes you certain. And in essence, that's what the reformation of the church is all about. It's all about being certain that Jesus died and rose for you, being certain that Jesus has washed all your sins away through word and sacrament, being certain that Jesus loves to be in your presence, both here through word and sacrament, and especially for all eternity in heaven. That's what the Reformation is all about. It's all about being certain in Christ. For when our focus is on Christ and on his work, that is when we can boldly and confidently declare this, whatever truth, whatever promises we hear here in church, when our focus is on Christ, we can boldly and confidently declare, this is most certainly true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise as we confess that sure and certain faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed.